You have tuned into Story Behind the Business with your hosts, Leyland Viano, Joel McDonald, and Adam Bessie.
Who?
Who? You know what's funny? I listen to Leyland do it every single time, and I'm like, oh, I totally want to do the intro.
You kind of got to do it in a bit of a raspier voice, though.
I know. And I feel like it was...
Welcome to the Story Behind the Business podcast.
And stuff like that. And I feel like if we don't... I mean, the thing with Leyland, if we don't get him to do it at the start of the episode, then we can't get him back on because his schedule is so jammed. So I do feel like the replacement guy right now, but...
Yeah, we should mention that we're about to play our interview. However, Leyland was on the interview, but he's not on the intro to the interview.
Exactly. Who did we talk to today, Joel?
Yeah, it was a fun one. Jason Yormark. And you can Google him, actually, jasonyormark.com. He's got a pretty cool of his own website, but he owns a company called Socialistics in Seattle, which is a social media company. And, you know, Adam, we've done a lot of these. We've talked to a lot of marketing people. One of the more inspirational people
that
we've had.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like we try to give enough like tactical advice to businesses and to even other marketing companies, but we do miss the fact that there is like this methodology behind it or a mindset behind it. And I think it was nice to hear Jason kind of go through his thought process on a lot of that as well, as an owner of the company and even as like the type of relationship you want to communicate with your clients. So yeah, it was definitely an inspirational conversation.
Yeah, and I guess we should mention, we know Jason. Jason's been to our building before. We've now partnered with him on several web projects. So we've got to know him from a business sense. But this was a little bit different hearing just his insights and how he started the company and what he believes and how they do things. It's a great listen. And I'm biased, but it's a great listen today.
Yeah. And as always, this podcast is powered by Agency Media and the Westland Group of Companies.
Yes.
In the show notes, you can get the links to all of those beautiful services, as well as the notes to Jason and his details. So without further ado, let's listen to episode 41 with Jason Yormark of Socialistic. And it looks good that you have your podcast mic. Leyland's the odd man out because he doesn't have his mic today for some reason.
I need anything that helps me sound less nasally. Like, so.
Well, as you saw on LinkedIn, we have a broadcaster on our biz dev team, Chase, and he fell in love with your ability to run a podcast. I almost found it offensive that he didn't
at all. I found it offensive too. Like here we are on episode 40 and he hasn't said one of those things.
Oh man.
Yeah. He's like, what have I done? As a broadcaster, I need to go to, I was like, dude, I'm one of your bosses, bro. You can at least mention my name.
I don't know what it's just talking. I don't know. Some people, that's all, being authentic and just talking about shit and being honest and transparent. That's trying to be interesting, I guess.
How long have you been running your podcast for?
Well, I have another one. I have a podcast called Comebacker, which I started a couple months ago, which is adult baseball.
Nice.
So I still play baseball. It's pretty unknown even to this day that there's like over 100,000 guys and gals that actually still play hardball. And so I played my whole life. And so I started an adult baseball podcast with a colleague of mine and it took off and really enjoyed it. And then I was like, I knew I wanted to do one for the agency. I just didn't know what that looked like or what it would be. And I listened to, I don't know if you guys have heard of, what's his name now? I'm having a brain fart around. He's like an agency mastermind guy, Jason Swank.
Yeah.
I listen to his podcast all the time and he just keeps saying over and over again, if you're not doing a podcast as an agency, you're missing out. And I'm like, you know what? Just do it. And so that's the Socialistics one I've been doing it's been about a month. So I'm still pretty early on. I launched with 3 episodes. I've done 3 or 4 since. I'm just digging it. It's to me, it's cathartic. It's just to be able to talk about, you know, what I'm experiencing. And for me, I think the audience is going to be more like agency wannabes or people that are looking to start one to help them, which seems counterproductive. Like, oh, really? I'm going to help people compete with me, but there's enough business out there. So that's the angle, I think. So, and hey, if it's a lead cultivator and clients hear it and they like it, then maybe it helps us land business.
The adult baseball one, and maybe since we're chatting podcasts right now, maybe give anybody that's listening an idea of, like, when you start a podcast, you know, are you in the belief that you should really niche into a specific vertical and go like super specific to help grow your audience? And actually, what are some of the things that you're doing to help grow your podcast?
Yeah, no. Are we recording now or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. All right. So I believe in the niche-based approach. I just think there's so much out there right now to compete with that if you try to go in too vague that you just basically you're going to get lost in a sea of, like, there's just so much out there. So the more specific that you can be, I think, is huge. Like with Comebacker, when I launched that, I mean, that's a really, really narrow audience. I mean, granted, the goal there wasn't necessarily to make money. It's more of a hobbyist sort of thing. But, I mean, it took off like that because nobody was doing that. And it's a very specific targeted audience that we could very easily get in front of. And the minute that they discover that this thing exists, they're all about it. Like, oh, man, I want to, like, it's because so it just lands with an audience so effectively when you pick kind of that niche based approach. I mean, you don't want to go too narrow. I mean, it's got to have some kind of audience. You know, with this particular one, you know, you have north of 100,000 folks that are playing, and even more than that when you talk about just baseball enthusiasts in general. So, but yeah, I mean, just
do you talk about baseball, and like, do you talk about what your that league is doing or that group's doing, or are you talking about just baseball in general?
I mean, we try to keep what we're talking about pretty centric to adult baseball themes, like what you experience as adult ball players. We talk about MLB, we talk about baseball in general. I mean, the pandemic, how that's influenced. I mean, we here in Seattle, we haven't played. The season got canceled. So it's been interesting because we launched it in the middle of a pandemic. So it's like we're talking about, you're having to get creative because we're not playing, you know, so we haven't really done this thing with guys actually playing ball. So the World Series takes place in Arizona. That looks like it might still happen, so it might be an opportunity for us to get out there and expand on that. But I mean, it's just taken off. We haven't done hardly any marketing with it. It's just word of mouth. And yeah, that's the great thing about podcasting is like every guest that you have is another salesperson for your podcast because they're going to tell everybody. And so it's a multiplier effect. So it's really taken off, and I'm trying to leverage that experience with the Socialistics one to help kind of complement what we're doing as an agency.
Why don't you touch on, Jason, then, for people that are just tuning in, what is Socialistics?
Yeah, we are a B2B social media agency, and we launched about 2.5 years ago, and we are a full service social media agency. We help businesses manage their social, businesses that don't have the time, resources, desire, expertise to do it in a way that actually is measurable and moves their business forward. That's what we do. We're not really about vanity metrics. We're about, you know, actually figuring out what are your goals and objectives? What is it that you're trying to accomplish, and how can we navigate social in a way that actually caters to that? And we have to. The biggest thing, we're a month-to-month agency, which really pisses off a lot of other agencies because it's not a common thing. I think it's a growing thing, but we got to earn the work every month. We have to make sure that we have to show them that what we're doing is actually worth what they're paying for. So, you know, it can't just be about Facebook likes or Twitter followers. It's got to be like leads and sales or whatever it is that they're measuring success with. So that's kind of what we've hung our hat on, and that's what we do.
Are you guys using certain reporting tools to kind of show your clients, like, here's some metrics that, like, besides just going with the likes or the follows?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a great story about that. So Air Force is one of our clients, and they came to us, and the first thing they said was, we don't know if this is working or not. We don't like our current provider. They send me the report that they got. And it was like this 50-page report that was just, you couldn't navigate. I couldn't navigate the thing, let alone a client. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy. So, I mean, they were just totally overwhelmed and confused by it. And so we use Agency Analytics, which is a platform that is just specific. I love technology platforms that focus on a singular thing. So, because they're really great at that, whereas the all-in-ones aren't going to be as good. So we've kind of figured that out. But we use them. We build custom dashboards for our clients. They're digestible. They get to the root of what the results are. We can do all kinds of things with it and customize it to align to, is it leads? Is it sales? Whatever it is that they define as success, that is what the visual report that we create for them is. And they can look at it and within 5 minutes know what they're looking at. You know, there's no confusion. They have to know. They have to be able to, you know, comprehend the work that we're doing in a way that doesn't, you know, require a lot of their time. And so we're big on delivering it in that way.
Jason, when you see businesses out there doing social media themselves organically, what are the things that you see that they're doing wrong or they could do better?
The biggest thing I think is there's a tons of social media content houses out there that, you know, you go, I'm not going to mention them by name, but they offer to basically do your social media content for, you know, a couple $100 or even less. And it's just templatized content that goes out. It serves no purpose. You know, the approach that we take, you know, we're not the cheapest option for a business and that's okay. But there's real people behind what we do. Like, there's no templatized approach. Like, we are really digging deep to understand a brand and the company and what it is that their goals and objectives are, and writing really well-written, visually stunning content that tells a story. That's always kind of been our de facto tagline is what's your story? Like, what is it that differentiates you as a business? Like, why should people care about you? It's not about trying to get a customer to buy that one thing. A lot of our clients have long lead funnels. So you have to provide value. You have to tell stories. You have to be helpful. And to navigate that over a long period of time, you have to be really strategic and thoughtful about what you put out and why. And it all has to serve a purpose. So it takes a ton of intellectual horsepower to do that. You have to hire smart, experienced people that are good communicators, that are good writers, that can think strategically and not just about, hey, let's put this thing out today because, you know, so I can check that box. You know, we posted 5 times this week. Well, so what? I mean, what purpose did it serve? Like, what is it aligning to? So there's a lot of strategic thought and time and effort that goes into doing it in a way that's actually impacting the business in some sort of measurable way. So, you know, and that doesn't mean that other people are necessarily doing it wrong. It just depends on what a business's goals and objectives are. You know, we're not the right best fit for everybody.
I mean, you can say people. I mean, I think we find in this space, and now you kind of alluded to it in a nice way, but there's a lot of people that kind of scam companies because they charge either too little or they charge a lot and they're not giving the same type of value to that business because they're not necessarily thinking about what the business's goals and objectives are. So they just start, you know, tossing out content that doesn't sound like the business. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like anything that the customer would want to consume or bring in. And they're posting for the sake of posting, which again, it's, you know, do you follow the Gary Vee method of posting 40 things a day, or do you follow the other method of posting relevant content to your customer base? But, you know, I think you can say it. I mean, a lot of businesses get turned off on hiring a social media agency because they've had sour tastes in their mouths from it.
I'm dealing with that all the time. I have to re-educate a lot of my initial, you know, sales pitches or initial calls with folks is about trying to, you know, talk them off the ledge because they've had a bad experience. So that's 50% of what I have to do most of the time. But you're absolutely right. It's very simple if you're a business. There's one simple question to ask yourself, whether you're working with an agency, whether you're doing it internally. Do you know whether what you're doing on social is growing your business? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, then something's wrong. You know, you, as a business owner, you should know that. Like, if you ask our clients, I would hope they would all say, we sure do. Absolutely. You know, you should be able to answer yes to that question. And oftentimes it's just, you know, businesses don't know the right questions to ask. They have a misperceived notion of what it should cost to do it. And you're right. A lot of times they've been burned. So they're not comfortable investing a lot in social because they just had a bad experience. Or, you know, oftentimes I get business owners that, oh, I hate social media. I don't spend any time. That's dumb. And I'm like, well, I understand. I don't like it. You think when I'm done with work, you think I'm rolling into on social media? No, I'm like, if I was an auto mechanic, I'm not going to go home and work in my car. Like, I've been doing it all day. So I get that, but you can't let your personal opinion, you know, dictate whether it might make sense for your business. But I come across that quite a bit.
How, just to jump in there, how do you find communicating that growth or the measurements of that growth to business owners if, you know, if you're not necessarily getting an immediate return on investment? Like, you know, you're not getting that purchase all the time. I think that's, sure. In my experience, that's always been the, you know, a business will be, be pitched on basically, well, we're going to increase sales by this amount by posting this many times. And then when that doesn't happen, they're like, well, this is pointless. Yeah. What do you use to measure that growth if it's not direct sales?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing I always say is to prospects that talk to us, I say, anybody that guarantees you anything or says that it's going to be like, that's a red flag because you don't know. I mean, we don't know with any client. All I can say to them is that we're gonna make progress. It's not gonna be perfect. We're gonna make progress. We're gonna make movement, and we need a couple months to figure this out. We need to test some creative. We got to put some stuff out there. We got to figure out what resonates and what doesn't, which things work. You know, the craziest little things can make such a difference. So I'm always really upfront with clients that this is a marathon. Like if you treat your marketing like a light switch, then it's never gonna work. Like you better have a marketing line item in your P&L, and that's a thing, and it never goes away. If you want to grow your business, so just get comfortable with it. The key is finding a right partner who's going to make that investment worth it. So that's like a red flag for us. If they're a light switch marketer, I'm like, not a good fit. Like, because they're 2 weeks in, they're going to be like, why aren't I a millionaire? Like, why haven't, yep. It just doesn't work like that. Yep. But typically, I mean, we just need to make sure like we're very clear on goals and objectives for them. My favorite question to ask a client when we're in the early stages is, imagine 6 months from now, that you're thinking back and hiring Socialistics is one of the best decisions you made as a business owner. What would need to have had happened for you to feel that way? Like I put them in that mindset and then they start thinking about it and then they start coming up with it. And, you know, I help them navigate it sometimes and have more realistic expectations, but we get very clear on that because then that's the goal. That's what we're working towards. Okay. If I feel comfortable with that, that's what we're working towards and we're going to get there, but this is as long as it's going to take. This is the kinds of things that we're looking for over the period of time to get there. And, you know, one way or another, we're going to get there. I mean, most of the time we do because we're selective about who we work with. If they have unrealistic expectations, if they have too small of a budget, if their product sucks or their website's broken, like we're not going to take them on because we know good marketing doesn't fix bad product and bad web experiences. Like we tell them, you got to fix this or you got to do this. Or if they're so in love with themselves that they're blind or like, oh, that's, we walk away. Like, not going to take that one because it's not going to end well. Because as a month-to-month agency, we live and die by, you know, limiting our churn, like by clients staying with us. Because, you know, someday if we want to be an acquisition, somebody's going to look at us and say, well, you don't have long-term contracts. Yeah, but look how long clients stay with us. We don't need them. Yeah. So we have to make good choices about who we work with.
You know, Jason, that's interesting you say that because I think as an agency, you know, we don't like to, you know, be selective with which clients we work for. That can often be easier said than done. Yeah. When you're trying to grow your business, you know, you got somebody that wants to pay you. How did you guys get to that point mm-hmm. where you were just saying, hey, I'm not going to work with you guys with that, you know, versus, man, I really could use this sale.
Well, I mean, I'm not, let's be honest. I wasn't always that way. I mean, certainly yeah. Again, I took anything I could to kind of get the ball rolling. So I'm not naive. I know early stage, agencies, especially ones that aren't funded. I mean, I bootstrapped everything. I didn't have any money. I everything I did was just, you know, hitting the streets and doing everything I could to kind of grow it. So yeah, I mean, certainly in the early stages, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are rolling their eyes like, yeah, like, you know, I get it. In the beginning, you kind of have to take what you can get, but yeah. It was always my intent to get to a point where I could be a little bit more selective. It's just something that you have to work towards. At this point, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would love to take everybody's money, but it's just, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm not, I want to grow a successful agency. And I've been down that road. I've worked at so many agencies, and when you take the wrong client, it's just bad across the board, because if you know it's not a good fit, it's not going to end well. And your team gets treated poorly. Scope creep happens. They have unrealistic expectations. If you take a client for less and you're not charging what you're worth, then it's never, because then you've set your rate with them. And if you try to increase it, they're like, what are you talking about? This is what we've been paying forever. Right. So it's just, none of that ends well. And I think the thing that made, I mean, we decided, when I first started the agency, month to month was my way to disrupt. I'm like, I'm going to do that. But I thought eventually when I get bigger, we can move back to the traditional model. But I think as time went on and I started to see that clients were staying with us anyway and that they really appreciated it, I'm like, you know what? We're going to stick with this. I believe in what we're doing here. And once we did that, I knew that we had to work with the right clients, because if you're in a month-to-month environment, then, you know, the clients can come and go. So if you pick the right ones and you make sure that it aligns, they're going to stick around. So
how are you finding those right? Like, how are you finding the right clients? Are they coming to you? Are you getting word of mouth referrals?
Yeah, it's evolved over time. I mean, I think, I was advised early on, they said 3 years. 3 years is the kind of the magic mark, the magic place where an agency really starts to take off. Man, they were right. Like I'm at 2.5 years, and the pandemic threw us for a little bit of a loop. So that kind of reeled us back a little bit. But I mean, it's been crazy over the past month or two now that people are realizing, well, we better get serious about doing business again, because this is either not going away, and even when it does, it's not going to be the same. But yeah, I mean, we've benefited from being in business now for a couple of years. I'm getting a lot of organic inquiries, so search results. I've had a lot of success with some of the directories. Clutch particularly has been really good for us, making a commitment to getting on there, getting a lot of really good reviews. It's hard work. I mean, their review system is pretty involved, but if you have good clients, they'll do it for you. So that's been a big boon for us. I get a couple leads a week from them. So it's not one thing. You have to really diversify how you approach that. So we're getting organic, we're getting directory-based leads. I've been testing a platform called Bark lately, which I'm still kind of figuring out. I mean, I've gotten some work from it. So in essence, it's kind of working, but testing that out, it's just, you got to be where people are looking. The challenge for us is we're B2B. I'm looking to kind of work with bigger clients. So you're talking about CEOs, executive level decision makers. They're tough to reach. So we've done some LinkedIn outreach. We use Seamless. And LinkedIn Sales Navigator to kind of identify niches and do some custom campaigning that speaks specifically to them. When we've worked with a certain industry, like we've done home healthcare, we've done a lot of collaborative divorces, which is an up and coming thing. We kind of get in that lane. We create a case study and really provide value up front and messaging that speaks specifically to them. We used to do events. Events was kind of, obviously not now, virtual, not quite the same, but you know, we've got a couple lined up next year. Hopefully that'll be in person. So some B2B shows.
You do a lot of speaking. Well, you have done a lot of speaking engagements. You find you get some good leads from being a speaker.
Absolutely. That's an absolute, if you're a business owner, you need to kind of put yourself out there in that way. We're very low. We're not salesy at all. My theory is help people, be helpful, be authentic, and they're going to want to work with you anyway. So I treat those opportunities as just really to teach them to fish. Like, here's how to do it. Like, here's how to do your thing. And you know what will happen? They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it, and they don't have the time for it. I agree with that. Now I want to hire you to do it. So, I'm always trying to be helpful, because you get in a room and you're going to get a wide variety of people that, and most of them probably can't afford to work with us, which is okay. But if I could give them at least some insight and educate them so they make better decisions about who they work with, then I feel like I've done something, you know, meaningful.
Hey, I didn't want to bring this up, but you mentioned it there. So I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't, just because this is the world we're in. Yeah. How has your business been affected by COVID? Like, what kind of pivots have you been seeing out there, with your clients, things that you've had to change?
Yeah. Early on, we lost a good amount. We went, we were on a trajectory before this thing hit to hit a million this year, for sure. And that's not me blaming a pandemic for where we're at, but, and here's where the month-to-month really hit home for me, I think, because my philosophy was businesses should be able to have the flexibility to ebb and flow when things happen. And this pandemic is a perfect example. I'm not going to make a business, you know, pay us if they're having to choose between paying an agency or keeping people employed. Like I'm not going to live with that. Like I feel like businesses need some of that flexibility. And so that just kind of reinforced it for me. So we did lose a couple, not because the results weren't there, but just because they couldn't afford it. I mean, they were just hemorrhaging, and they had to put things on pause, and it happens. So it brought us back down to reality, and, you know, I didn't let it, you'd really handcuff us. We really just dug deep to really figure out creative ways to position ourselves to come out of it stronger. As long as we can keep the lights on, let's just do what we can. That's where our podcast, like that's where that was born out of, some other kind of efforts and getting creative about how to reach people and help people and just get, you know, just keep grinding. And luckily we were able to kind of weather that storm. And then, like I said, over the past, I want to say 4 to 6 weeks, things have been just out of control. I mean, the only explanation I have is that people, like I said, are realizing this pandemic's probably another 3, 4, 5, 6 months away from going away. So I need to get real serious about my online strategy. Yeah. Or they're just thinking, well, even when this thing is over, people have become so acclimated to working from home. I mean, working from home is going to be just a thing. That's not going away. And people are even more online than they've ever been. So businesses are like, well, we better get serious about this because, you know, this stuff isn't going away. And so I think it's a combination of those two things where businesses are just like, okay, well, this is the new normal. Let's get serious about getting some help around making sure that our business thrives and becomes somewhat more bulletproof. Like a lot of businesses weren't ready for this. They just weren't prepared. And I think they're starting to get serious about getting help and making sure that their digital strategy will help them not only get through this, but look, it's going to happen again. So I think, you know, it's helping them make sure that they're prepared for that. You know, if and when something like this happens again in any capacity.
And on that note, and not really self-serving, what are some, you know, some high-level tips you have if a business has realized that, but they just don't have the budget to bring an expert on like your company to kind of start situating themselves so that at least they have the foundation in place on social specifically to set them up for success down the road?
Yeah, I've always been a firm believer in don't do something unless it's serving a purpose. Don't do it just to do it, just to check a box. So look, either as a business, look, times are tough. If you don't have enough budget to take on a partner, it depends. I mean, I think that you kind of have to establish where your business is at. Can you afford, you know, do you have a budget? Can you spend money on this to get help? Yes or no? You're either in the yes bucket or the no bucket. If it's a no bucket, then guess what? You're going to have to do it yourself. You're going to have to self-teach. You know, either don't do it at all, like don't do this, like, or you're just going to have to dig deep and kind of self-educate and do it yourself. If you don't have the money, then you got to find the time. And but for those businesses that can carve something out, yeah, maybe you're not going to be able to afford certain agencies, but there's plenty of young, hungry, talented people out there that can at least get you going. And maybe it's you find somebody on Upwork or you find somebody even on Craigslist or somebody. I mean, it's not easy finding great people. Trust me. Like that's why that's the secret to our success. I have a tremendous team that I am very lucky to have, but you know, that took time to find those people and cultivate those people. You just can't expect to kind of put something out there and you're going to get the very best or just happen to stumble across the right person at the right time. So, you just kind of have to determine whether this is going to be a self-driven thing or whether you can, you know, scrounge up enough to get the help that you need and take the time and effort to find a resource that's going to help you get there. So, and then the only other thing I would add to that is don't worry about trying to be everything and everywhere. Like if your budget is limited or your time is limited, don't worry about trying to be the very best at Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. Like what's your business do? What's the low-hanging fruit? Pick a channel and be great at that. Start there, build some momentum there, and then apply that, you know, to other channels. Because too many people spread themselves out too thin across everything. And like I said, it's better to be great at one thing than average at everything. So, you know, it's got to be kind of a mix of those things for people that are in kind of challenging situations.
Do you think that, let's say I'm a plumber, and I think, I don't know why everybody always uses the word.
We always go to plumbers. It's always plumbers.
ABC plumbing.
I always say like, if we're in recruiting mode right now, so we're hiring, and how I always explain our clientele, it's, you know, you could be working with a billion-dollar industry one day, and then the next we're working with Joe the plumber. And it's not like it's a bad thing, but that's just where we go.
Yeah, but so I mean, and I think it's because you think of like a plumber, like so if you're a plumber or someone who's running their own business, maybe they have 5 employees and they want to take your advice by just focusing on like one platform.
Yep.
If I'm gonna focus on Facebook because okay, my customers are gonna be on Facebook I'm going to post some before and after photos. Mm-hmm. Well, if nobody's there, what are some tips? Yeah. Like, how do you organically build that? Like, what would your approach be to work with a plumber? And yeah. Obviously, you know, you give away the secrets a little bit and no, they're not going to do it. They're going to figure out a budget. Right. If it's meaningful, but you know, yeah. What are some sly tricks to, should they be looking at hashtags? Is there a resource to kind of find out what's trending and what things yeah. are working?
So that's a great question. So we don't actually, full disclosure, we don't actually work with a lot of local businesses because the budgets don't line up, right. Which is okay. So in your particular case, but there have been some that we have worked with. If I were a local business like that, the things that I would focus on, and it depends on in this particular case, okay, service-based. Instagram, yeah. Forget it. Nobody's, you know, looking at Instagram for plumbing photos. Oh man, look at that hose. Like, no, it's not a thing there. Like, forget about
that unclogged toilet.
Yeah. No, nobody cares about that. If I own a local business like that, I would be focusing on Facebook, and I would utilize Google My Business. Which, you know, whether you would consider that social or not, that's an argument for another day. But ultimately, I would focus on those two things. I would figure out what your budget is, what's a number that you're comfortable with. That's going to determine whether you can get somebody to do it for you or not. But even if you can't, honestly, Facebook's ad platform and the Google My Business ad platform are relatively easy to navigate. So what that's going to do is, even with a somewhat limited budget, you're going to get the low-hanging fruit, right? People that are looking for, I need plumbing help, you know, on Google. So, you know, the actual Google ad platform is pretty heavy, and most business owners aren't going to have the time or the right. ability to navigate that. But make sure that your Google My Business page is optimized. You're using it. You're asking people for reviews, and then literally just clicking the button to run ads, which is like a 3 or 4 step process. That's really that they navigate it for you, and like that, you know, for a couple $100, you're going to get on the front page for some terms that relate to your business. So you're going to get people that are actually looking for you. So that's number one I would do. And the second thing I would do is just be active on Facebook. You know, put helpful content out. Perfect example. We had a concrete patio put in about a year ago. This guy kills it on social. He posts pictures. He talks, like, I didn't know anything about it. And it was such a, like, oh my God, what am I going to look for? How am I going to do this? But he was super helpful. He talked about the different types of, materials that to use and the benefits and the disadvantages and what to look for. And he was super helpful before I had even chosen him. So I was building trust and likability with this guy. I'm like, I'm hiring this guy. Like, this guy is helping me make good decisions. So I was sold. So if you're in a service-based local business like that, be helpful, put out, make a commitment to putting stuff out, help people make good decisions. And that is, you know, it's a commitment. You got to keep doing it. And then complement that with running some relatively low expensive ad campaigns to elevate that, to get it in front of people. You know, you do those two things and you'll create some momentum for yourself. I mean, granted, it'll be easier if you have somebody do it for you, right. But it depends on whether
the numbers line up. To get started, if you don't have any budget, you have a phone. 98% of the people out there have a phone in their pocket that can take decent video and photos. Oh, yeah. So if you're leveraging like Facebook and you do a selfie video that talks about your concrete platform or that hose that you're putting in, you know, a kitchen or something like that. Yeah. Then, like you said, you're putting out relevant content that worst case scenario shows that you know what you're talking about. And it yeah. also gives the distinction to the customers that you're not, like, they know what they're getting before they actually purchase your service.
Yeah, you put out good stuff that's helpful. And look, it's not that expensive to boost a post. Like, if you don't have a following, that's okay. You know, throw $20-$30 at a really helpful post. You're going to get it in front of a couple hundred people, maybe even a couple thousand if you throw a couple more bucks at it. So honestly, if a business, like, if they can't even afford that, then I'm like, I don't know that you can afford to have a business right now if you can't, you know, throw something at it. I get it. Times are tough. But I mean, you want your business to grow. If you actually want, I mean, you're going to have to take some risks, some level of risk, an appropriate level of risk. If you're just not willing to spend the money, then I don't know what to tell you. I can't, you know, you have to have some skin in the game if you want to be more than what you are.
Well, right on, Jason. I think for the sake of time and for our podcast, we're going to wrap it up. I feel like Leyland and Adam and I could probably talk to you for a couple of hours listening to you talk like this. So, Jason Yormark of Socialistics, thanks a lot, man, for coming on. Was there anything we didn't cover that we wanted to go over before we sign off here?
No, I don't think so. You know, I just, you know, I just always want to be helpful for folks. Most of the conversations I have are just helping people and they don't even turn into clients. So if anybody ever has just help that they need, just some advice to help navigate where they're at, I'm always happy to kind of be that resource.
Excellent. And we'll have all your info in the show notes so that people can, we can make it easy to get you in front of those people.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Good times.
Right on. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, for sure.